Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Siobhan Madigan, thank you very much indeed. Now, from luxury cars to handbags to cash, we'll hear from the CAB Chief Detective Michael Gubbins as he details the process of seizing criminal assets after the break.
Motorists, it is illegal to drive without motor insurance. On Garda Síochána now receive updated insurance details every day for the 3 million vehicles on Irish roads. They can tell in seconds if your vehicle is insured or not. Driving without valid insurance can lead to a court appearance, your vehicle being seized, and other penalties. The Gardaí now have your insurance details, so if you drive illegally without insurance, you have never been more likely to get caught. Brought to you by the Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland.
Make your Easter extra special with Daybreak. Uncork a great deal with Gavin Negra wines at only €9 each. Snack on O'Donnell's mature cheese and red onion or Irish cider and sea salt share bags at only €2.50 each. Treat yourself to Cadbury milk tray 530 gram at €10. Hop to Daybreak for these amazing deals. Please drink responsibly.
On Tuesday night, join us on Arena for an Afrobeat special live from Studio One here in the RTE Radio Centre with Yann Kari, the Afrobeat Collective, and special guests. That's Yann Kari on Arena, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
The Criminal Assets Bureau, or CAB, was set up in 1996 to go after the proceeds of crime. Currently, it has about 1,400 targets across the country. Most of the criminals whose assets are being investigated are involved in the sale of drugs. The assets that CAB seizes and then realises value from for the state range from houses with elaborate extensions to designer shoes or bags or clothes or watches or jewellery, all paid for by the violence and intimidation of the drug trade. We're joined now by CAB's Chief Bureau Officer, Detective Michael Gubbins. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme. You might outline, we'll discuss the painstaking process that's involved in taking some of these assets as well. Outline to people what CAB does in a number of words.
So I suppose traditionally law enforcement would go after the individual, the criminals. Where the Criminal Assets Bureau is different, we go after the assets which have been derived from criminality from these individuals. That would be our, I suppose, our USP, is that we go after the assets that the criminals have acquired through their criminality. So we would look at an individual and say, right, they are a criminal and they've used their criminality to get funds to buy a house, to go on holidays, to buy the jewellery. And we will target the assets of those individuals.
Okay, and it's ingenious in a way from the state's point of view. You take whatever they got from crime, you take it for the state and for the citizens of the state. I said there you have 1,400 or so targets up and down the country. Now, you're probably investigating, keeping an eye and an ear on these targets. Who are these guys and girls? Are they huge criminals? What size of criminality would they be involved in?
So, you're right, we have 1,430 criminals spread throughout the country. We even have 15 that reside abroad. And they range in somebody from, as I describe them, the big fish in the small pond in the local community, to those that maybe people would be more familiar with their household names. But these are people who have caused a lot of destruction and upset in their community. So if we go to a small village or a town in the west of Ireland somewhere, That community knows who the criminal is, and we will go down to them. We will take their car off them, their high value items, their watch. We'll empty their bank accounts, and in time we'll come after their the extensions on their house, the houses or any other property they have. But it actually sends. So our job is to deny and deprive, and in the course of that we remit monies back to the exchequer. But the real value, I think, is when people see us landing on somebody's door early in the morning, and they say, because people will come up to us during the course of the day and say, listen, well done, it's about time. But also the fact that we've taken, I suppose, their status symbols from them, whether it's the watch, the clothes, the car. But it's really appreciated by the community, because they will say to us, thank you at the side of it. They will write in to us. They might even email us to say thank you about that.
Okay, so I have a number of questions on that, right? How do they come on your radar?
So we have a number of streams for how somebody might become a target of the Criminal Justice Bureau. So one is we would develop our own targets ourselves just through our own work and our own investigations. We also use what are called divisional asset profilers. So we've somewhere in the region of 580 trained Gardaí throughout the country. And we describe them as our eyes and ears on the ground.
500 Gardaí?
Yes, so 580.
Okay, so they're like cab spies, really.
I wouldn't call them spies, but they're our eyes and ears on the ground available to us, who stay in touch with us, and their job is to identify criminals and the assets that belong to them.
Okay.
They will then write to us and say, listen, I've identified Michael. He's involved in the drugs trade. Mm-hmm. He has a house, he has a car, he goes on holidays. And then it comes to us for assessment.
Okay. Even 500 is an awful lot. So even if my native area would be Connemara, and there's an awful lot of Connemara, it's very desolate, and I know it's sparsely populated. I could get away, surely, could I? Without being noticed by cab of building an extension, even if it's from criminal proceeds?
No. We have, I think in 2022, we covered 20 counties. During the course of our searches and operations. So every year we'd probably do in that region of 20 odd counties where we carry out searches, and you'd be very surprised as to where those searches are done.
Even small villages?
Small villages, remote areas, rural areas where people think that they are hidden. But being from the west of Ireland, you must realise as well that communities are very tight. They know when somebody isn't right and when something is wrong. And that's it. And they know who the criminals are and what they're doing in order to allow them to live a lifestyle, or who a stranger is, or blow.
You get a tip off from the community, do you?
So we have what we call good citizens reports, or GCRs. So we probably got, I think last year we had about 260 good citizens reports. So that's it. Members of the public who contact the Criminal Assets Bureau, and they do that by writing in to us, emailing us, telephoning us, or going on Twitter or our Facebook accounts and saying, listen, I think Michael is a criminal. This is what you need to know. Now, some of them are more in-depth than others, but I suppose just to give the public, make sure we've safeguards built into our process. So we have an assessment office who look at those, and they decide then, actually, is Michael a criminal? Does he have assets? And then we have an admissions group, and that decides, is that a case we're actually going to take on? So somebody couldn't just spuriously write in and say Cormac is an awful man and we go after them. So there are, I suppose.
So let's say Cormac becomes a suspect in rural Ireland somewhere, right? And I built a big extension and I have really fancy clothes and a new car and so on. Do you swoop straight away, or how long is a process of investigation?
So it could take anything up to a year before we actually go to do a search. So what are we doing in that time? So in that time, we're liaising with the local asset profiler, the local guards. We're building up a profile of the individual. What criminality do they have? What, are they into drugs? Are they into theft? Are they stealing cars? Or is it smuggling that they're involved with? And then we look at their bank accounts, so we can look at their bank accounts and see where the money's coming and going from.
You can look at their bank accounts without them realising?
Correct, yeah. So we can get orders to do that, and we look at their bank accounts, credit union, post office, any other account that where they might have funds. And obviously if we look at one account, it might lead us to another. So that's why it takes us a while to build up a picture around the individual. We look at what properties are registered to them, their family, see what spending that they do. So on the morning then, we will arrive at somebody's door, we will go in and we'll do our search. They are completely unaware of the fact that we've been investigating them up to that point.
How do they react when you knock on the door in the morning?
So some of them will be, I suppose, quite hostile to us coming in, as you can imagine, and others will go, okay. And I won't say they cooperate, mm-hmm. but they're less hostile.
Are they frightened?
To be honest, it's not something I put it, are frightened or not. These are bad people. These are criminals. These are people who had no concern for their neighbours, their community or their country when they engaged with the drugs trade. Mm-hmm. So for them to be frightened of the Criminal Assets Bureau, who are a law-abiding organisation, I don't really worry about that.
Okay, are they, when you seize the assets then that morning, is a criminal arrested and taken for questioning?
They aren't, no. So our job, as I said, is to go after the assets. So on the morning, we will take anything that we can take, which is cars, watches, jewellery, cash, high-value clothing. Mm-hmm. So we'll then come back, we'll get everything together, but also on the morning we might find extra documentation which will show us actually they might own other properties. Where do they have bank accounts? Do they have receipts for work that they've done? On occasion we'll bring a quantity surveyor with us to see, to give us a cost of how much did it cost to build a house, how much did it cost to put the extension together. And again, we can use that in our case. It was so the Criminal Assets Bureau has, I suppose, three powers as such. We can go after somebody through the proceeds of crime, which brings them through the High Court. We can use our revenue powers and we can use social protection powers. So don't forget that in the Criminal Assets Bureau, you have guards, revenue, customs, social protection, and people from justice there as well.
How many of them challenge legally, through the legal process, the seizure in the courts?
I would say maybe about 20%.
20% only? My
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
It's hands up then, basically. So, and then would there be, would they not leave the jurisdiction and start again?
Some of them have left the jurisdiction, mm-hmm. But generally, I suppose these are people who live in an area and they're from a community, and we find that they want to stay in that area.
So they will
settle with us. They will, yes.
And what will they do then? Do they go off and start a law-abiding career?
No, is the honest answer. And a few of them have become, I suppose, repeat targets for us, and we've gone back after them again and got additional assets from them.
Why is there not a parallel process to target the individual and bring them to justice?
So the remit of the Criminal Assets Bureau is to deny and deprive, so we go after the assets. Going after the individual is done by the Gardaí under that, and we would work closely with the likes of the Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau and the local Gardaí to make sure that we're not stepping on their toes if they're going down a criminal route. And sometimes they will come on a search with us and we'll go on a search with them. Okay. So it's very much, we're very aware of keeping the cooperation with our Garda colleagues.
Okay, we're talking, if you just turned on the radio, we're talking to CAB Chief Detective Michael Gubbins. He's the head of CAB. I found this absolutely fascinating, Michael. Tell me about Hawala, or Operation Decimal.
So Operation Decimal was an operation that the Criminal Assets Bureau ran in 2020, where we identified a Chinese organised crime group who were providing underground banking services to actually all organised crime groups here in Dublin. And basically it is a means of which you can transfer money without actually transferring money. So by that I mean, On the morning of the search, we went to counting houses. So you would deposit, as a criminal, you deposit money in a house, mm-hmm. and then you would be able to take that, the value of that, out in another country, so the money would not leave the country. And you would say, why is that important? Because if you think of 2020 and 21, 22, you had COVID. So the normal means of getting monies out through the country, which is probably by lorry or, that way, it wasn't available to them, right? So they would conceal them, obviously, in loads and that. So it obviously became very popular. But as a result of that, we were able to identify, as I said, counting houses and the network that was involved in that.
Okay, that is fascinating, isn't it? That kind of dark banking network.
It is, and you also have DIGO, which is another system whereby monies come in from outside the country, high-value items are bought and then exported or returned back to the country from which they came.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about social media briefly and the role social media has in
apprehending these guys. Quite an interesting aspect of our work. Obviously, I suppose we use it ourselves to promote our own business, but also we live in an age where people, and our targets are no different. They're on Instagram, they're on social media, they're showing their friends and their networks what they have, which is a watch, they're on holidays, they're here, it's the car that they drive, it's the house that they've done up. And that allows us to build up a picture of those individuals. So you asked, what do we do before we do a search? So on occasion, we're getting that. But also when we go back to the Good Citizens reports, mm-hmm. and I have to thank the public for sending those in to us, they may often on occasion include screen grabs of social media accounts belonging to Cormac or Michael and saying, look at what they've got. And it's evidence of the lifestyle that they're leading.
Look, you mentioned it and I mentioned it at the start. What kind of stuff do you seize? Give people a list of the stuff that you seize generally.
So I suppose people might be familiar with, so last year we ran an auction in December where we auctioned off approximately 100 items that we had seized over the previous years. Mm-hmm. And in last year we were entitled to realise the value for them. So you're talking the high value watches, your Rolex, Breitling, any of those, Hublot, all those big designer watches, 5,000, 10,000, 30,000 value on watches, all the high value handbags, you know, Louis Vuitton, all of those. You're probably more familiar with them than I am, right? Jewellery, you know, and then there's always cash around the house, and I'm talking wads of cash, the Moncler clothes, like wardrobes full of designer goods, some Gucci sunglasses, all of that, everything that people look around. But I suppose in a way it's used, and then obviously the cars, boats, jet skis, mobile homes. We see people have mobile homes on holidays, sites around the country. They are putting a lot of money into actually purchasing houses. And when they purchase a house, it doesn't necessarily be in their name. It could be in a family member's name, or they mightn't have completed the transaction for the sale. So it could be in the previous owner's name. So there's that sort of stuff. But it is.
And all of this from the proceeds of crime. Heartless, cruel, often fatal in the process.
Well, yeah. And I think it's I'm always conscious when I speak about the high value items and that, but to remind people that behind all of those, there is criminality, there is addiction, people have been intimidated, and we'll go all the way up to some people have been murdered.
Okay. Satisfying work?
Yes, I enjoy it, and the people that I enjoy working with them there, and they all enjoy their job.
Okay, you said I'd be familiar with those types of items. You know how nervy you can get when the head of cab says, "Are you familiar with luxury items?"
Yeah. sure, look, it's...
Okay, look, it is fascinating to hear all about the work of cab. Chief Detective Michael Gubbins, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.